Hi, Tia. It's really good to see you today, and I'm really glad that you came in to talk to me today. Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your story?
So I grew up in Alaska and Idaho. Alaska is usually, very unique to Utah here. And I moved down here to come to BYU. I am currently majoring in entrepreneurship, and I'm almost done, actually. So,
Very exciting.
what about you?
I'm originally from El Paso, Texas, so right on the border of Mexico and New Mexico. And I came up here for school as well, but I just graduated this past Thursday in nutritional sciences, and I am now trying to get into PA school and hopefully to be able to become a physician's assistant and to be able to work in the emergency room. That's kind of my goal.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So as far as being up here in Utah and being queer and things like that, how has that journey been for you here?
It was different at first, just because I think I was really scared into thinking like I could not tell anyone, not even my roommates or anything, or else I'd be like kicked out of my housing, kicked out of the school, or like it was, I don't know, I just was like a lot more scared, I think, than I necessarily should have been. But after kind of learning like, oh, okay, things are kind of fine, like it definitely has gotten a little bit better. I was even like too scared to come to places like Encircle at first for like the longest time. So I was just like completely alone for probably like 8 months or so. And then I finally was like learning about different things, different resources here, and that has definitely helped a little bit.
Definitely.
But yeah, places like Encircle have really helped a lot and made me feel a lot less alone,
That's really exciting to hear, and I'm glad that you found resources to help you. Have you noticed over the years that you have discovered your sexuality and things of that nature, how your perception has changed about perceiving, oh, I'm safe to come out, or how has that confidence changed for you over time?
So when I kind of first figured things out, I guess, well, I initially kind of thought that I was bisexual. Like I just kind of knew I liked girls, and like not liking men didn't really seem like an option. Like
Oh, of
that never
course.
even like crossed my mind. So that was kind of like what I was vibing with for a while. And then I kind of thought my parents would be safe. I don't know. They seem pretty neutral about like gay issues. I don't know. It was always like, I don't really see why anyone cares so much about like preventing them from getting married just because it has nothing to do with them, like
Yeah.
that kind of thing. So I don't know. I thought it was like pretty okay to come out. So I was like, hey, I like girls.
Yeah.
And that was definitely not the case. That was, my mom was not the best at first. It was really awful for a couple of months. And I came out like right before COVID quarantine.
Oh
So.
no.
It was even worse like being together like isolated, I guess, for so long. But things have gotten better. They're obviously like really supportive now.
So, you said when you came out to your parents that your mom wasn't the most supportive of it, and it was really awful for a period of time. How would you say she took it, and how did she gradually change over time? How did you notice her change over time?
So I think just at the beginning, and I know she might actually listen to this, so like maybe not say too much, but at the beginning it was more just like, I don't really understand why you would choose that. A lot of it was just like, I know you're better than this, I know you're smarter than that, and I know you can make better choices. And that was obviously really hard to hear. Just because obviously it's not a choice, so it's like,
Exactly.
but I think we actually had, it's so funny, our neighbors were lesbians, Sharon and Brenda, and we always loved them. But I know it was like, I think as she was like able to talk to them and like other people that kind of were in the same boat, things kind of got a little bit better. They definitely weren't like great. It was more just like, I understand that this isn't something you can choose, but like I said, I came out as bi, so she was like, you just date men, like, I get that you can't choose your sexuality, but like you can choose who you date. And I should have known then that I was like so resistant to only dating.
Yeah.
But, you know. And, yeah, I think after I actually knew I was a lesbian, that was after I came to BYU, and, like, hearing how, like, straight women actually talked about boys, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's not how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, like, on TikTok, I heard about, like, the lesbian master doc, and, like, reading that and everything mm-hmm. had, like, definitely helped me understand, and, like, definitely recommend that to anyone questioning.
Yeah, can you go a little bit more into what the master doc is and, like, what it contains? Because I think a lot of people would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, yeah. So the main thing, I guess, that I was able to learn was about compulsory heterosexuality, and that's just kind of feeling like you have to be straight just because that's something that's been, like, taught and, like, imposed on you,
like,
your
whole
life. Like,
the default setting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And, like, everyone's like, your biggest goal in life is to get married to a man and, like, have children and things like that. And, like, I think that's kind of the main takeaway that I took from that. Obviously, it's, like, a very long, it's, like, 30, 40 pages or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know. But, yeah, the main thing would probably be learning about compet and, like, how that can actually not be who you are, I guess.
Yeah, that you don't have to kind of resort to what everyone has taught you for your whole life and kind of choose your own way. And, of course, it's, I feel like it's easier once you have more knowledge and you kind of delve into those things. So I'm really glad that you were able to find that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of, like, queer people, I think coming out to family is probably, like, the hardest because they are, like, have been with you for your whole life. So do you have any advice for the people that are thinking of coming out to their parents or are scared of coming out to any family members, and what you did to kind of deal with the beginning backlash and kind of then move on to educating your parents about your sexuality and things like that?
Yeah, I would definitely say I came out probably too early. I didn't really know a lot about, like, it was only a few months after I figured out, like, oh, I like girls, and, like, then I told my parents, and I don't know, I feel like I should have waited longer to kind of just, like, I don't know, be more ready for like a bad reaction, I guess, because I definitely was not expecting that. I think that made it a little bit worse. But yeah, you definitely don't have to have everything figured out, but I think just kind of being ready for that kind of thing is really difficult and takes a little bit more time.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and I definitely understand, because having a family member react badly to something that is so important to you and is your identity doesn't feel good. Not at all. And but as you said, like, your mom kind of came more around. Was there anything that you noticed that really helped, like, your mom and maybe can help, like, other parents or other people coming out help their parents understand more? Is there something that, because I know you're talking about your neighbors, but was there anything else that kind of helped your mom almost come to terms for herself with your sexuality?
Yeah, so I had been moved away during that time that she kind of, so I don't necessarily know exactly kind of what had changed, but in our conversation, we kind of have, like, a come to Jesus moment over the summer, like, in between my freshman and sophomore years of college, and it was kind of just, like, we love each other too much to, like, hate each other for this, and, like, we can't, like, this is just not something to lose each other over. Like, it was more something like that. And I don't necessarily know exactly what changed.
Yeah.
It's not the most helpful. But I think she was able to kind of find more resources, learn about other people's stories, and just kind of, I think maybe she had heard about some kind of horror story of, like, somebody being kicked out or something. I don't necessarily know what that was, but it kind of seemed like she had heard something really awful and was like, I don't want that to happen to us. Like, I'm just kind of like, get over it, you know? It's like, I can't let that happen to my kid. So
I'm really glad that your relationship has improved, and even though we might not know exactly what happened, at least it did happen with your mom. But I think as someone who was starting to think, like, oh, I like girls, and then I was like, oh, I really like girls and I don't like boys anymore. Like, how did you, like, come to, like, that transition, like from the beginning stages up until now? Like, how did that look like for you? Because I know it looks like different for everyone, how they come to realize that. But in your experience, how did that look like?
Like, at the very beginning, it was really awful. I was like super obsessive over like, how exactly do I feel about like every person that I see? I was like, okay, there's a girl. Could I see myself holding hands with her? Okay. Could I see myself kissing her? Could I see myself getting married to her? Could I see myself doing like maybe more intimate things? And that was like with every single person I saw, like even my teachers or something. I know that's like totally inappropriate, but and like random people I see at the grocery store, my friends at school, like I was just like obsessive about like trying to figure this out. And it like took a very long time because, you know, I just, it was definitely, but I probably wouldn't recommend that to people. But yeah.
Okay. So like it kind of became like almost an obsession. Like I have these feelings, but I don't know how I feel about them, and kind of almost exploring that with every person that you saw.
Yeah. And I definitely thought that I was like faking things or like making things up. So I think that was kind of why I was like, I need to like prove that like every girl I see, I feel this, or otherwise I'm faking it, which is definitely not true.
Yeah. And then can we go a little bit more into that? Like that whole idea of like, oh, maybe I'm faking it. Maybe I just, you know, read something or saw something that maybe made me think that, I am gay, or like I might have an attraction to the same gender and things like that. So how did you come to term, or how did you come to know that you weren't faking it and that it was actual and genuine feelings?
I think, again, just kind of hearing other people's experiences. That was kind of when TikTok had gotten popular, and a lot of queer people have known, like they come across lesbian TikTok, and
the best side of TikTok.
A lot of it was just like, oh, you know you're queer if this and this and this. And I don't know, I just kind of been browsing that for a really long time and was just finally able to say, like, I've seen enough of these things that I definitely fit that, like, definition, I guess. Or, like, even the stereotypes of, like, you know, like, people cuff their pants and stuff. And, like, things like that that were a lot more silly. I was like, I do all of those things, wait.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, I think learning about other people's experiences as well and hearing how other people knew they were gay as well definitely helped a lot.
So for people who are kind of might be more isolated in their experience and might feel like they don't have like resources or people, how have you in your journey like found people or found resources? We talked about the Master Doc, but have there been, and TikTok, but has there been like anything that you have done or like how you kind of come out to people around you that has, or kind of test the waters to see who can be that support for you?
Yeah. I think with my roommates, I did wait a really long time to tell them, again, because I was just like really scared of anyone knowing at all. But I didn't go on any dates at all. I think I'd like talked about my past boyfriend, which kind of helped me seem like I was straight. I was like, okay, yeah, I can relate like in this aspect. And it kind of took a while because like, obviously you don't really talk about queer people a lot with like just random people. So that, I was actually outed by one of my other roommates. So one of my roommates actually told me she was bi, and I was like, oh my gosh, wait, I can tell someone finally.
Yeah.
And then she told everyone else. So it wasn't necessarily my choice, but they seemed totally fine. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of awkward at first. I think one of them, she was like trying to flirt with me, even though she didn't want to like do anything with me. She just wanted like be wanted. I think it was just like, so that was really, because I didn't like her, but I was like really confused. I was like, wait, does she like me? But yeah, so that was a whole thing. But you know, I think with random people now, like I'm not really, I'm definitely a lot more comfortable. I don't, I just kind of like say, oh, I, you know, I'm a lesbian, by the way, or something like that. I don't know if it comes up. I'm not necessarily like testing the waters anymore. I just kind of feel a lot more comfortable about it. Just like, I don't really care who knows. So yeah.
I think that's awesome. How did you like come to be that like almost comfortable in your sexuality? Because I know for a lot of people, it's kind of something that they like to hide and like to, or that, or they're scared to share because of either bad reactions that they've had, but mm-hmm. how have you come to have that confidence and to be secure in your sexuality?
Definitely places like In Circle. I mean, like the Rainbow Collective and like Cougar Pride and things like that. One of my friends had actually like found out she was bi like while I was her friend. And so like helping her through that was definitely a really big way for me to also be comfortable with my sexuality, because I had to like comfort her. I was like, hey, it's fine, there's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, there's nothing wrong with me either. Mm-hmm. So that was I think that was also a really big turning point as well. And like just helping somebody else get through it, all of a sudden it was like, wait, I need to take my own advice that I'm giving to them. Mm-hmm. And I can't be hypocritical about this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm telling them to not be ashamed, but like, I'm ashamed. So, you know, it was like kind of, I was almost pretending to be totally fine when I was around her, but I was like, also trying to figure things out myself. So, yeah.
As you have gone through your journey and as you've experienced different things, do you have any advice for people who are maybe going through the same thing of maybe coming out to their parents or family, roommates, or who are just kind of in the middle of discovering their sexuality?
Yeah, so as far as discovering my sexuality, I'd definitely recommend just getting around other people of the community. I know like before I was able to meet actual people, I used like Instagram and TikTok and things like that a lot, and just kind of heard about like random strangers' experience. But then mm-hmm. once I was able to like come to BYU and was finally comfortable enough to come see other people of the community, it was definitely like just being friends with someone who was queer was like, and I was able to like joke with them about things that I'd been through and things like that, was really helpful. And as far as coming out, yeah, like I had mentioned earlier, just definitely being ready for a bad reaction, I think, is like, we're all kind of anticipating it, I guess, but I don't know, just actually being mentally, like emotionally ready for that person to react badly. Because that was like one thing I definitely would like redo. Mm-hmm. But and then for like friends and stuff, a lot of people don't care as much as you'll think. I don't know, it's kind of different with parents versus like with friends. I think with parents it's like, oh, it's actually like my kid, I need to like care more. But with friends and stuff and like coworkers even, I don't know, it just is a lot. Like, people don't necessarily care as much as you are anticipating they will, in general, at least. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for that advice. And I think a lot of people, you know, need to hear that. A lot of times you will get bad reactions, but it doesn't mean that it will stay that way forever. Like, your experience with your mom and how there are a lot of people that are very accepting out there, and mm-hmm. that there is a community that is waiting to, you know, accept you with open arms and to make you feel more comfortable. And I think that's something that everyone really does need to know and really needs to hear. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Tia, for talking today and for expressing your feelings and being vulnerable. And I really appreciate all the words that you said. And I know that a lot of people will need to hear that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a 20-year-old trans woman and a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Very big fan of women.
Same here.
I came out, like, I think about 8-10 months ago at this point. So it's a relatively new thing for me. Mm-hmm. It's been an experience, to say the least, though. So my family, I'm gonna be straight up, I had a very lucky experience with coming out. Mm-hmm. My family had always been like very supportive of LGBT stuff in general. Well, my immediate family mm-hmm. has always been very progressive and such. And that allowed me to come out in a space where I genuinely felt safe. Mm-hmm. Extended family is a different issue, because I have some aunts and uncles that I literally haven't spoken to in like 8 months, because they won't talk to me. Yeah, and that's a very mixed feeling, because it's like, on the one hand, I'm not sure if I want to interact with a bigot, mm-hmm. but I mean, I did know them for most of my life, and it's yeah. kind of any tie that you have with someone is hard to just cut off. Yeah. So yeah, about I'm gonna say 9, just to be safe, months ago, I came out as a trans woman to my family. I had spent the entire summer just like very introspective and just trying to figure out who I am as a person all around. And when I finished up with that introspection around end of July, early August, I was like, I've realized that most of what I don't like about myself is the things that society has placed on me. And most of it, if not all of it, was masculine in some regard. I don't identify with anything masculine in the slightest.
Yeah, even your outfit today.
Is it that obvious?
Lucy's wearing a sundress right now.
It's a very comfy
and
dress.
And shoes.
Okay.
Anyway.
I like flowers. They're very pretty. Literally, when I was doing that introspection, most of it was up in the mountains. often picking wildflowers and drying them in my car. It's very queer now that I think back on it.
I was about to say that.
but yes. What was I saying?
I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, it's
the things
okay.
you don't like were all masculine things.
Oh, yes. So, like, whenever I had issues with my body image, it was essentially always, like, shoulders too broad, too much hair, you know, too much muscle, even.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought about it, the more I realized it's not just, like, the physical things either. It's everything masculine I don't like, to the point that I am now also a lesbian. I don't hate men by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, my entire life, I've had a preference for women. My best friends from kindergarten have all been women. I had one best friend who was with me for about 7 years, who was a guy, but he was a minority in that group. And also, the more I've been thinking about that lately, I think he may have been just like, oh, I'm a guy, I need to have a guy friend, because, you know, men and women can't be friends for
some
reason.
Of course,
so
that's just fall in love.
That is a very lesbian thing, though. We're just friends, we're not... Okay.
Anyway,
but so I kind of forced myself to be friends with what I realized afterwards wasn't someone who I liked to be around.
Mm-hmm.
He was very toxic, had a very big idea of himself, and especially in high school became very, very bigoted. And I just kind of let it happen for a while. I was just like, oh, it's just him. That's just how he is. But the more I came to think about it, I was just like, I don't like him. I'm just being his friend because it's expected of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in a more comfortable place now where, like, I actively choose people I want to be around rather than who I'm expected to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting experience being a trans lesbian in particular, because it's like there's a fairly large percentage of the lesbian community who doesn't think I'm a woman, first of all, and second of all, doesn't respect me as a sapphic individual in any regard either.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had any personal experience. Everyone I've been around in that regard has been very supportive and open, luckily, but I do know some friends who have been like turned down or harassed because they're not what some people consider to be a real woman, which is a silly term to begin with, because it's like it's a bit more flexible than that.
Yeah.
The more I think back on it, the more funny it is, though, because like it was about 2 or 3 weeks since I had come out, and I was just chilling in the living room with my mom, and she asks me very bluntly, because mm-hmm. my mom's the most progressive person in my family, other than maybe my sister. She's, oh my gosh, I have such a high respect for my sister. She's like so like, I don't mean to be stereotypical, she's like very I am woman, hear me roar kind of person. Mm-hmm. She's just so driven and like powerful, and both the women in my family. I guess I'm the woman in my family too.
And
now.
I'm like, queen, but, don't disregard yourself.
They're both very strong individuals mm-hmm. who like get things done. But anyway, my mom being the very okay with talking about whatever and very progressive person that she is, just bluntly one day asks me while I'm on my phone, like looking at TikTok or whatever. She's like, so if you're a woman, does that mean you're a lesbian now? And I was like, I guess it does. So my coming out in regards to being a lesbian was essentially being told I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, wait, actually, yeah.
I should have probably known a lot of this for a while, though. It's one of those things where it's like looking back, a lot of it's kind of obvious, especially being trans. Oh, heavens. When I was 11, mm-hmm. around when like puberty and such started happening, I got depression when puberty started. Mm-hmm. Don't know what that was about. It's almost like but I was like, you know, very feelings of like, this isn't right. What's going on here? At the time, I was somewhat religious. So mm-hmm. I was like praying about it and stuff for a solid month. I was like crying in the shower and stuff because I was like, this isn't right. Why is my body like this? And then I repressed it super hard.
Oh no.
Because I lived in a small town where those types of thoughts weren't acceptable, and I didn't even know that trans was a thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that lesbians were a thing. Mm-hmm. None of it was like, it was just like, oh, I am a man. I am expected to be with a woman because of that. Mm-hmm. And it was a weird thing, but there were a lot of things. Stereotypes are never a good basis for mm-hmm. someone, but when you know that you are, it can help you like justify yourself, I suppose, to yourself, because self-affirmation and all that. So like it was to the point where everyone in my high school, even the other queer kids, in a very nice way, thought I was either gay or asexual, because I was just different.
Yeah.
I always was super well groomed. I was the kid who wore like blazers and suits to school, not in the conservative way, in like the gay guy
in the girl boss way.
Yeah. And I was the entire costume department for my theater at high mm-hmm. school. So I sewed and I did improv and I did these like classically feminine things. I cared about my image, which I later realized was mainly me being like, I don't like how I look ever, so let's do as much as possible to make myself kind of presentable.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowadays, I can like put on some cut off like green pants and like an old NASA logo shirt mm-hmm. and just be like, we're good.
Yeah.
But, oh, my life's changed so much for the better. I'm so much happier now.
That's good.
And, oh. Because I don't want to like forget about the lesbian part, because that's supposed to be the focus. Women.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
they're so sweet. I've never understood the appeal of men. They're
no,
just
same.
Very disconnected. Yeah, yeah. They tend to be, not always, you know, generalization for the sake of conversation is what this is.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
always exceptions, and generalizations shouldn't generally be used, but it's a useful tool for conversation. Mm-hmm. But men tend to be a bit more detached emotionally, which has its assets. They tend to be a bit more harsh and cold. I can't handle that. I'm very soft.
Yeah.
So most of the dates I've been on with other women have been very like women who are very strong and like supportive and like make me feel safe around them. Mm-hmm. The types of women that I'm into usually are pretty much, I just say, like to say strong, because like whether it's they're tall, I'm into tall women, strong physically. If you have a strong personality though.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so attractive to me.
Yeah.
Or like a woman who like is stable and like she's independent from her family and like She has her own job and apartment. That's so hot. I don't mean to sound like a 30-year-old, but like, stability and like structure is so important for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of, so there's a large overlap with the queer community and neurodivergence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go into the semantics of why that is because I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. But with that overlap, you notice a lot of trauma and internalized things. I had a long time growing up where my family, always busy since like fourth grade, essentially, I was alone. Mm-hmm. And being a man and being a mature man, because I had depression, and didn't express my emotions because I didn't have any, I was expected to essentially raise myself. So now that I'm reaching a point where, especially with hormone therapy, I can feel properly and express myself,
mm-hmm.
It's nice to be able to be like vulnerable and like be like, hey, I would like some support because I didn't have that for most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It is still awkward though. I say that my family was supportive, but like my grandparents still like, they'll call me Lucy,
mm-hmm.
but they make a very explicit point every time they say it. It's like Lucy with an asterisk. It's like, we love you, but we don't support you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of painful thing because it's like, oh, I don't know. It feels fake to love someone without loving who they are.
Yeah, I feel that.
It's very much the love the sinner, not the sin kind of thing, which is silly. I don't think they know that I'm a lesbian. They might assume, but I haven't stated it to anyone outside of my immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be difficult if I eventually get a girlfriend. Because, like, if I go to a family reunion and I've got, like, a very, like, butch stereotype woman with me. it's going to be hard to deny anything, you know? But I'm reaching a point to where it's like, do I want to deny? It's more beneficial to me to just kind of embrace that than mm-hmm. it is to try to pretend, which is things I've been pretending for a very long time for a lot of things. So it's nice to finally be in a place where I can be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure if it was hormone therapy necessarily, but being able to be myself has literally cured my clinical depression that I've had since like third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm no longer feeling like my existence is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Societal pressures sometimes make it feel that way, but now in regards to myself in a self-contained sense, I feel like, yes, this is me. This is right. This is how I want to be.
So what advice would you give any young kids who are considering that they might be trans or they might be a lesbian or even a combination of both, obviously?
Deep introspection. I think everyone should do that. I think every person should have a period of time where they think very deeply about their gender and their sexuality. And if you come out on the other end being cishet, that's perfectly fine because mm-hmm. now you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
You're no longer falling into heteronormativity. You're not doing what's expected of you. You're mm-hmm. just doing what you are.
Yeah.
So I a little bit sort of rushed things, but that's because I'm the type of person who will hyper-focus on a thought. I literally spent the entire summer not working, not going to school. I was exclusively spending time thinking about who I am mm-hmm. and who I want to be. So.
And how do you go about that? Like, what kind of things would you do to, like, teach someone how to do this deep introspection type thing?
Disconnection from distraction is a good thing. It might sound a bit stereotypical, but literally just spend some time in nature because
mm-hmm.
it's just a more calm state of mind than the hectic, you know, your phone's going off every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You got cars everywhere. So I would literally go up into the mountains in my car. I would find a nice place to park and I would sit there and just watch the mountains for a while and just think. And the more I watched and looked around, the more positive I started to look at life, because I started to realize that I'm not just limited to this small valley, this small conservative town I was raised in. There's more.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff outside of the valley. So going to places where you can feel relaxed and open, and places where it's a more new and like fresh environment would be very good. Probably thinking about who you are as a person, what you like, what you don't like, mm-hmm. is a big thing. Like for me, as I mentioned, the main ways I knew I was trans is essentially everything society had assigned to me in regards to being masculine, I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like being expected to be the strong one. I didn't like being expected to be, this one has its own slew of issues because patriarchy, but to be in charge because the man's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. It's silly.
Yes.
Patriarchy. Woo, my favorite. I was expected to be a very specific way, and I didn't like being that way. I was expected to be detached. I was expected to be, you know, I was expected to be what a man is in the most generalized and almost stereotypical terms.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought, the more I was like, no, what I like is I love flowers. I love being in nature. I love sewing. I love dressing up. I love looking pretty. I like, and again, there's no requirement for gender in regards to these things, but they help affirm yourself in what you are, because
mm-hmm.
gender roles, I think, are meant to be broken. You can be the straightest man in existence and still love flowers or makeup or dressing
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
It's perfectly allowed. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I just very much was like, I'm in touch with these more feminine aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think like, oh, what if I'm a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in my life, I had been made more aware of being trans as an option and such. And I was like, I kind of forgot that I had had troubles with this before. And I realized that I had repressed and forgotten about everything that was like a sign.
From the beginning of puberty.
Literally, I just stopped feeling emotions for an entire decade. Because
mm-hmm.
Everything that made me feel emotion was like, no, you're a guy. You're not supposed to feel that. Which is silly in its own right, but society has a lot of issues and I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
I prefer to be more optimistic. But in regards to like lesbian stuff, if you're questioning being lesbian, think about like, would you like to be with a man for the rest of your life? Can you see yourself holding hands and feeling happy with a man? Can you see yourself kissing a man? For me, all of those answers were a very big, very loud no.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big fan. But with women, butterflies, that's a new experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh heavens.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes women are just so lovely. Like, I'll have a cute girl walk past me and my friends make fun of me for it all the time. I'll just like blue screen. Women are, I like women.
Definitely a lesbian.
Define lesbian?
Oh, I said you're definitely a lesbian,
Oh,
yes.
Definitely a lesbian. Defining lesbian though, okay, I actually don't like the word lesbian personally.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the term sapphic,
because mm-hmm.
for me, I know it's not meant to be that way, but lesbian has some connotations where it's like, cis woman like cis woman. But I'm into essentially everything. This is a gross oversimplification of gender as a spectrum, but everything that's essentially NB, shouldn't use terms that people might not be familiar with, non-binary, and then to the feminine side, essentially everything in that side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into. I've been into plenty of they, thems. I've been into plenty of she, theys, they, she's. just it's femininity in general that I'm attracted to, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a bit more hectic, because when you allow yourself to feel emotions, emotions happen. So yes, masculinity in general tends to be more stable, but I like the more open nature, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
of the more feminine sides of things. And again, this is for the sake of conversation. This is still a very gross oversimplification of gender
mm-hmm.
and norms and such, but we can't spend the entire time deconstructing all of society's heteronormativity,
yeah.
normative, that is a weird word, and the patriarchy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That would take hours.
Yeah.
Days, maybe even. But it's just weird.
Sorry. I was saying, and I think kind of nowadays the term lesbian, like the definition has kind of changed to more like women-aligned people who are attracted to other women-aligned people, to be a little bit more inclusive like that. Obviously, not everyone agrees with that. That's kind of been like something that is more revolutionary, I guess. But yes, anyway.
That's why we have TERFs. Yay, yeah. Everyone's mm-hmm. favorite. Oh, I can't believe I forgot to mention this part. So I did theater as a high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
I was in improv, and I did the costuming for my school's theater productions, and I was required to do a regular theater class as well for that. So I did a play of Bridge to Terabithia. That was traumatic. Love that movie play. That one is emotional. But I came to find that if I ever had an opportunity to play a female character or lead, it was more comfortable. I felt more like I could express myself. And that extended itself. I started playing around like mid-senior year, early senior year, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons at my school because I'm a huge nerd. but my first character was a female character, and I was like, wow, this is nice. Literally, my name is from my first Dungeons and Dragons character,
mm-hmm.
Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's spelled different, but it's just a name that I've always been very fond of. Like, whenever I had a female character in any, like, game or whatever, I would always name her Lucy,
mm-hmm.
because I was like, that's a very pretty name. And growing up, I came to realize that these things that I would assign to women, or what I thought I liked about women, were what I wanted for myself.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was my type in women is how I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird thing, too. When you think you're a guy and society sees you as a guy, you're expected to treat women so horribly.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird. They're like, oh, that woman has to be hot or sexy. She can't be anything else. And it's just like, women are not just hot and sexy. They're very hot and sexy. But I usually, when I see a woman that I like, I'm like, she's beautiful. She's
mm-hmm.
pretty. I'm not usually thinking about it in these weird make her a sex object ways. It's not appropriate, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And they force this on. Growing up, even in like middle school, it was just like, oh, boys will be boys. This is why I couldn't hang out with the other guys, and I always hung out with women, because it's so weird how they view women.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never understood it. But I'm sure there's some degree of it not being their fault and just society is structured that way. So I'm not going to be blaming anyone,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to break free of what you've been taught your entire life. But I don't know. Women are beautiful.
Yeah.
that's the statement for the podcast. Women are beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. And to kind of reel it back a little bit, sorry. What advice would you give someone who is trying to come out to people in their life?
I got lucky, as I mentioned, having a very progressive family in general. But with my extended family, it's been a very, like, almost forced thing. I've been reaching points where I'm like, I can't not tell them. I'm wearing skirts every other day. I'm wearing makeup. I can't not tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest, though, make sure you have support first. So if you have a queer friend who you know and you're trying to come out, I would suggest talking to them first and then bringing them with you to talk to your family. And if you can get your family involved, then you already have a very good support.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be very difficult to get your family involved. Some people are very set in their ways and beliefs. I know I have a couple friends who have been completely cut off from their family, don't talk to them. I always feel so bad for them. But it's kind of a reality that queer people have to face.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about coming out that everyone always says, but it's true, you never stop coming out, really. When I'm at work and we get a new coworker, I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm a trans woman, because I... Weirdly enough, when it's a presentational type of queer, because if you're a lesbian, you don't necessarily have to wear a backwards baseball cap.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like Doc Martens, or there's a lot of lesbian stereotypes now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of stay under the radar. But when you're a trans woman, it kind of can be obvious sometimes. I don't know if it's just my insecurities, but I worry a lot that it's like, oh, they can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and like, what's safer for me to not tell them and possibly get approached for it in some manner or harassed because of it, or tell them and set some ground rules and make sure things are safe.
Because
mm-hmm. if I introduce myself as queer, then if there's harassment or anything, I can immediately get it taken care of with my boss or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I don't even know if they know I'm queer and I'm getting harassed for it, it makes it a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such an odd situation, because telling someone that you're queer can be so unsafe, like genuinely physically unsafe. I've had times where I've had to like essentially sprint into my apartment when I get home because someone's giving me that look.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure at this point if it's because they see me as a woman or because they see me as a queer. But sometimes I'll get home late at night and I'm like, I can't stay outside for a period of time because it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So coming out is a very tricky and extremely like moment-to-moment, person-to-person kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, if you can get like two or three people as a solid support, you'll probably be, relatively speaking, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we reach a point in society where you can just be happy.
Yeah.
And love who you want to love and be who you want to be. But until we get there, I guess it's just try your best to be safe and be selective of who you want to tell, but also be aware of the situation of when you need to tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is all. Thank you so much for coming today.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay, Kylie, can you tell me a bit about your coming out and life as a lesbian?
Sure. So for me, it was, and I'm still not out yet to my family. I'm still not at that point where I'm ready yet to tell them, because I've had past experiences with my brother coming out and negative effects in that way. And honestly, I'm not at a relationship point with my family that I can come out. But I have been able to meet amazing people at my school at BYU, which you wouldn't really expect, but it has been really great to meet people who have similar mindsets and who are so loving and so accepting and accept me for really who I am and not for what I'm supposed to be or what kind of the expected of me is. And I think for me, coming to terms with who I am and with my sexuality did take a long time. I fully didn't come out like to myself really until the summer of last year, so summer of 2021. I always knew that I liked women. I always knew that, but I didn't know like what I was going to almost call that. Like, what was I going to almost put a label on? And like, no one really needs a label, but sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's nice to have an identity.
It gives like a sense of community and like, exactly. This is who I am, a sense of being.
Exactly. And it feels more almost secure. And so I didn't really know what I wanted until about the summer of last year, and I went to Pride for like Salt Lake City Pride for the first time because COVID was a thing, and then they finally had the full Pride parade, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so cool, this is so nice to be surrounded by like hundreds and hundreds of people, and people cheering on the sides of the roads, and just having, and everyone was having so much fun, and it was so peaceful and so welcoming, and I felt like comfortable for the first time. And then after that, it was easier for me to feel comfortable talking to my friends who like went to Pride with me, and talking to people that even like here and in the circle, just opening up and coming out to people that I know are going to be accepting of me before I have to come out to people that I know won't be as accepting. Maybe they have come around, but at the same time, it is something scary, and it's not something to take lightly, coming out to family or coming out to people that might not have the same viewpoints as you or be as accepting. And it is something that's really scary, and I am honestly terrified. But
it's a scary thing. It can mess up your life for
exactly
a long time.
Yeah, and like I've learned from the experience that my brother has had that like sometimes it's going to be hard, but there are going to be people that will accept you. And even in your family, like I know I have aunts and I know I have cousins, and I know I have uncles that are going to support me and that I have like come out to them. And it's kind of seeing how people like react to these kind of things. And sometimes it's for like safety reasons, just to like test the waters to see how they think of like certain things that are going on in the world, like, oh, like what is your, like kind of like kind of bringing it up, like, oh, what is your opinion on this and things like that, because sometimes knowing their like overall opinion can almost lighten the blow, or like bringing up conversations about queerness and about the community to see like what their opinions are, or even exposing them more and more so that it's not such of a shock.
It's like exposure therapy for them.
Exactly, exactly.
And it gives you like a precedent to work off of, like when you ask a girl if she listens to Girl in Red.
Exactly.
Gives you a pretty good idea.
Right? So there's a Spotify playlist and you're like, wow, you're very queer.
Very queer.
And then you know it's a safe place. But I think a lot of times, especially in my situation with my parents and some of my family, it's just they don't have the exposure to the community, to the LGBTQ plus community. They don't have exposure to queer media or to queer representation, whether it's intentional or non-intentional, and they don't really know the struggles and the stories behind it. So I think something that's very important for people who are planning on coming out, or who are scared that their family or their friends or people that they know, coworkers, might not be accepting, is kind of exposing them to things like that, to make it less jarring of an experience, even though it's not for their sake, but it's for yours. Because in the end, like, they are gonna have their own feelings, and they're gonna have their own opinions, and they're gonna have feelings and emotions that they need to work with. But it is, in the end, it's your decision and it's your choice whether or not to come out to them. And it's not your fault, their reaction to it, because they have their own opinions, and their opinions of you are not fact, they're just opinions. It's the definition, it's not based in truth. So and I know that we won't always get the best reactions, but I think to not take it personally, to not take it as something that you did wrong, because loving who you love isn't wrong.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Loving women isn't wrong, loving men isn't wrong, loving like anyone, like love is love. And if they react to love with hate or with negativity, then that's more of a display on their character than it is on yours.
That's a really good thing to remember. Yeah. A lot of queer kids they blame themselves. They're like, this is, I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not them. It's society.
Exactly.
Whoever they may be talking to who's being rude.
Exactly. And I think that's something really important that I want everyone to be able to know is that there are going to always be people out there that are going to be rude, that are going to question your sexuality, that are going to interrogate you, that are going to bring you down to like the lowest level that they possibly can. But I think if you are sure in yourself and you know that what you are, what you identify as, is who you are, it becomes easier to separate their comments from yourself. And in a lot of ways, it's the hardest part to do that, because sure, we can think like, oh, I don't care what people say about me. Oh, I don't care that they might not accept me, but it hurts. It really hurts.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes from family, or especially when it comes from a friend, and even sometimes strangers, because they don't know anything about you but that, and yet they made that decision to judge you like that. But I think the more sure you are and the more support that you do have behind you, knowing that you have someone else to go to, someone else to talk to, is something that I find very important. Having a good support system can be difficult to find at first, especially if you are new to the community or new to discovering your sexuality and don't really know where to turn to. But there are like places like InCircle, or if like you're a college student in the area, there's the USGA or Spectrum at UVU, and there's all these different community groups that are available to us that can provide that support that you might not be able to find on your own, but you can definitely come and find so many people that are willing to help you and willing to accept you for who you are. And I think that to anyone who's questioning their sexuality, or to anyone who's contemplating coming out, or to just people who are just allies in general, like finding people in the community and making sure that, you know, they all feel welcome, they all feel the support that they need, because I think that's something that is lacking in a lot of people, especially those who are just coming to terms with their sexuality, that it can be lonely sometimes. And it's a very shared experience. Like, there's like millions of people who have had the exact same experience, but yet you still feel so alone in your experience because it is uniquely yours. And no one's experience is going to be exactly the same, but they all will share like a common thread.
Yeah.
And as long as you kind of, you know, pull out that thread from others and use it to strengthen your own, I think, and obviously not like completely dependently relying on others, because that never ends very well, but you have to just use their strength and their support to build yourself up to where you can then support yourself and then maybe go on to support others.
Building on top of that, I have two questions actually. Mm-hmm. First, did you growing up tend to, even though you didn't know you were queer at the time, did you tend to gravitate towards more queer friendly, or did you tend to gravitate towards friends that were a bit further away from what society would consider to be standard?
I would definitely say so. And I would say I definitely had more, I guess we'll say like liberal friends that really believed in the same things that I did and really had the same standards and the same like beliefs, which I found to be very helpful, especially in the community that I grew up in. And I found that I did like gravitate towards like queer people, and I did gravitate towards people who weren't afraid to express who they really are, even if they weren't queer, just like be authentically themselves. And I think I gravitated towards that because I still wasn't authentically myself, so I kind of looked at them and like, wow, they're really cool, I want to be their friend, I want to be like them, you know. So I gravitated towards them in hopes that I could kind of gain that confidence and gain the, you know, ability to be authentically myself.
Of course, yeah. I feel like a lot of queer kids before they come out tend to draw near each other. Mm-hmm. Even if no one in the group is out as queer, they tend to, they know it's the gaydar trope.
For real. And then like you look, and then years later, like now I looking back and contacting friends with high school, we're all like, yeah, I'm gay. And they're like, oh my God, I'm gay too. Like, it's just things that, especially in high school and in middle school, like coming out as queer at that age is terrifying. And especially because a lot of times people are like, well, you're still so young. You're not developed yet. You don't really know who you are. Like, this is just a phase. It's not a phase,
and
with, Mom,
within the school, you become the gay kid.
Exactly.
You're the lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
You are the other.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything growing up that was like, when you're thinking back, were like, oh, of course I'm gay. Like, did you watch any movies and like see like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens and be like, what is this feeling when I see this very pretty woman?
I can definitely say like in almost every movie that I watched, I would pay more attention to the female characters. Search for like the City of Atlantis, like the main guy character and how he was like all like nerdy and like scrawny and stuff. And I was like, huh,
it's a good movie.
I think for me, it was more, cause I read a lot. I would read a ton of books and I always found myself gravitating towards the like strong female characters in the books and being like, wow, like that person is so cool. And like, even in movies too, I would always pay attention more to like the female characters, maybe because they're not as represented in media anyway. So I always like to look for like strong female characters and kind of keep a list to see how like small it is compared to other ones. But I think for me, it was more like growing up and being told like, oh, I'm going to like marry a man and be a housewife and just be the nurturer and things like that. And it didn't fit. I didn't picture myself with like a man. I didn't picture myself as that role. And so like finding myself, putting myself in other, and seeing myself with other like characters in movies and things like that, being like almost jealous of like the male characters in the movies and being like, wow, like they get like a catch like that.
Oh yeah, and it's right. Representation in media is so important.
Oh, exactly.
Because
exactly.
If you can find a character as a kid that you're like, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you so much happier.
Exactly, and I think, I mean, growing up, I didn't have that. Like growing up, like there's not a lot of representation of lesbian women in media, and especially in like a positive light.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's just the stereotypes, and I think that's where a lot of the misconceptions come from, is from those stereotypes and from like the media representation. And it is getting better and there is more representation for sure, but it's still not at the point to where it's in any equality. And I wish that as a kid I had that representation, because I didn't get that representation until I went like on Tumblr and like way back in 2012, you know,
the
like
the
the prime time, or until I like had social media and I was able to see like, oh, there's so many people that are a part of the community, or there's so many people that feel the same way that I do. But I think until then it was just kind of like I pushed it away. I was like, it's just the girl's pretty, or oh, it's just like I just think of her as a friend, like a really good friend, and I want to be around them all the time. And it's not, but it's in reality, it was because I had a crush on them, and it was reality like, oh, I had romantic feelings towards them. But I don't think without growing up until I learned more about the different sexualities and things like that, that I realized like, oh, this is what it was.
So furthering upon that, representation, all that, what does like lesbian visibility as a whole mean to you? Like having characters that you can identify with and don't have to just be like, I think this character might be gay. Because you'll stretch your imagination so much to get the characters you want to be the way you are.
Exactly. I think visibility, as far as, you know, being a lesbian, does have to do a lot with representation. But I think it also just has to do with how you present in your everyday life. And it's not like following the stereotypes. It's just being open and being proud of who you are. And I think that's the most important part about being visible, is that you're not afraid to say that I'm attracted to the same gender. I'm attracted to women. I am not following the norm. And it's not like, you know, wearing a pride flag as a cape. Like, that's not what visibility is. I think visibility is more like making sure that you yourself are open so that people can see you and people can see that you are someone that they can go to for support. And I also think visibility is just acknowledging that, like, the sexuality is real. It's not like a problem. It's not an issue. It's someone's actual feelings and it's someone's romantic interests. And that's who they are, and that, and they deserve to be seen that way. They don't deserve to be seen as someone who is broken or someone who is just confused. They deserve, I think, visibility in that way is to see people for who they are and to recognize their emotions. And also just going back to media is just realizing that they're just normal people. It's a normal relationship. It just happens to be between two girls. It doesn't change the fact that they have problems, that they have ups and downs in a relationship. It's not, oh, who's the boy in the relationship? Who's the girl in the relationship? Like, who has those roles? Like, no, it's just a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's the same as if it was a normal straight relationship.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're all adjectives. You're a trans woman, mm-hmm. a lesbian woman, you know, they're all women.
Exactly.
It's just they love people a certain way. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're not human or not still people who can do bad things and good things and mm-hmm. have issues or emotions.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think the most important thing to realize, like, as a lesbian woman is that, like, you deserve to be seen. You don't deserve to be ashamed of who you are or to be worried about what people are going to think about you or to be scared about what people are going to think of you, because it is kind of scary and people can have those bad reactions. But I think we all deserve to be seen for who we are and to be acknowledged and to be respected and to be validated. And I think that's really what visibility will come down to, is when you see yourself as someone whose feelings are valid and are able to see for yourself that you are just the way you're supposed to be and that you're just who you are.
It's been lovely talking to you and getting to know more about you and your perspectives and your history.
I really enjoyed talking with you too. It was really great to be able to share my thoughts and feelings, so thank you for the opportunity.